Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Gnostic Media's Unspun, episode number 78. I'm back with Curtis Duncan today, and Curtis has been on the show four times previously. He was our very first video guest back in, what was that? I think it was August or July 2012, a long time ago.
Yeah.
But, you've been coming on the show for a long time. Thanks also to everyone who donated to the show and supported this week. But anyway, Curtis, welcome back to the show. It's good to have you back.
Thank you, Jan. I appreciate it. Sorry for the delay, but it's definitely an honor and a pleasure to be on the show again. Good seeing you.
Good to have you back. Well, you know, your last episode... Oh, what was it now? It was a really good one with you. It was like 222 or something like that. We ended up just citing and referencing that show constantly for information on this whole transgender topic. So, sorry, I was just trying to pull it up here. So, you know, it just keeps coming up and up and up. Episode 221, Homosexuality and the Chemical Manipulation of Humanity.
Yes.
And that was, we actually got some pretty good views on there. I mean, of course, they do throttle my YouTube channel, etc. I mean, I've got 52,000 subscribers, and you'll see, like, you know, like 2,000 or 3,000 views for most of the videos, which is absurd, you know, but especially for the hundreds of videos we have up there. But so your video had, you know, it got like, you know, 23,000 views up there, plus, you know, several thousand MP3 downloads, etc. So we got a little bit of traction, but we got it out there a little bit. But, you know, it's really important information to understand how there is an under... It's not just all... The whole transgender thing isn't just psychological and selling this idea of being open and genders fluid and all of this Tavistock SRI nonsense that they're promoting everywhere right now. But there's also a chemical aspect to it and a dietary aspect that you and I have covered extensively regarding fat and cholesterol, regarding soy products and phytoestrogens, regarding... you know, all of these different things. We covered some of the plastics and things before, but I really wanted to get back into that today and sort of do a refresher on all of it. The information is so important. We see it just constantly coming up, and now more than ever. I mean, you and I were covering this stuff years ago. We could see it on the horizon. And now it's, you know, you can't turn on media without seeing it every single day now, being shoved in our faces. You know, 7-year-old transgender child, like a 7-year-old even knows what the hell that is, you know?
Yeah.
And these are clearly marketing tactics being pushed by the mainstream media.
Yeah, it's these days, essentially what's going on is that, yes, you know, with the transgender movement, there are, and I was just doing some research into this, kids as young as you mentioned, 7 years old, are getting gender reassignment surgeries. So, and you also have kids who are getting hormones, these artificial hormones, to essentially turn them, you know, a biological male or man into, you know, into a transgendered woman, if you will. And it's a situation where you actually, you know, the kids are being sterilized. They're being given these really harmful and dangerous synthetic hormones. And the whole medical industry is turning this into a huge billion-dollar business where, you know, people essentially are getting mutilated by the doctors and the surgeons. And, you know, but behind every movement, there's always somebody making money.
Right.
So when we're talking about, you know, something just throwing out let's throw out the feminist movement. There's somebody who made money off birth control. Now, we know the birth control kills women, Depo-Provera, NuvaRing, all these different contraceptives have been proven to be deadly and to cause heart disease, which is one of the number one killers of women. But it was promoted as women's liberation. So there was somebody behind that to make money. You know, we can even discuss, you know, whatever movement there is, there's always, you know, someone behind it to make some money. So essentially, you have many individuals who you know, they are born as a man, but they identify as a woman. Okay. And, you know, and there is definitely a chemical component to that. And I understand that many of those people do feel that way. But why do they feel that way? And who is behind the reason why they feel that way? So, you know, and this goes back actually to a synthetic estrogen, because a lot of people think, oh, this is something new. This actually goes back to the 1940s. There was a synthetic estrogen made by Eli Lilly, known as DES. I believe, I can't put this, it's a really difficult chemical name, but I think it's diethyl something, but it's essentially the short name for it is DES. It was a drug that was given in the early 1940s up until 1970s to pregnant women, but it was a synthetic estrogen. Now, they gave it to women under the guise of preventing miscarriage. It did not prevent miscarriage, but what it did do is that what the researchers found was that when the drug was administered to pregnant women, they developed children who were, you know, essentially who were transgendered. They might have been a woman, but they felt like they should be in a man's body. Or if they were a man, they felt like they should be in a woman's body. So essentially they had what was known as, I think the psychiatric term was gender dysphoria, something, you know, but essentially they had what was known as gender identity disorder, where essentially they felt like, you know, being in their body was a mistake. And this was caused by a synthetic estrogen that was made by Eli Lilly. What it also caused most multi-generational health problems as well, too, through a process known as epigenetics. The drug was eventually taken off the market in the 1970s. But to this day, there are still people who are actually affected by exposure to the synthetic estrogen within the womb. And there was a documentary, I can't think of the name of it now, but if you just look up DES daughters or DES sons, there are stories that was actually documented in a Canadian documentary of children who essentially they're transgendered as a result of exposure to the synthetic estrogen. Many of those individuals are also lesbians or homosexual. Now, the interesting thing about DES is that it is actually it's similar to soy and to bisphenol A. Essentially the exact molecular structure. Bisphenol A being something that's found in canned foods and is found in 93% of Americans' bodies. It's found in all plastics. It's found in money. It's found in grocery receipts. And soy being the number two crop that's widely grown in this country. Soy is found in every single major food via from the simple fact that it's fed to the animals via grain-fed meat. And it's also a huge component of the whole vegetarian movement. People who are taught that fat is bad. I mean, there's a recent documentary out, a complete vegan propaganda film called What the Health? That's telling people that, carbs are great. You can't get diabetes from carbs. It's saturated fat, which kills you. It's cholesterol, which kills you. And when I watched about 5 minutes of this film, I was like, man, this had to be financed by the grains industry, by the soy industry, or by big pharma, because that's going to produce millions. Or all three, exactly. But I think one of the financiers was a Hollywood actor by the name of Joaquin Phoenix. So I don't know who he's connected to, but I saw that he was one of the major funders. But yes, essentially, these chemicals that are out there known as endocrine disrupting chemicals, they are a major factor for causing transgenderism. And essentially what's going on is that big pharma is producing more customers because, okay, if I can make people feel like they should, by feminizing or masculinizing their brains through all these synthetic hormones, if I can make them make them feel like they're in the wrong body by feminizing their brain or masculinizing their brain, then I can sell them more synthetic hormones for life.
Right. Well, what do you also hear on the radio all the time now, but these testosterone commercials, mm-hmm. And that goes directly back to the low HDL cholesterol diet.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
And
Plus.
so, you know, the best thing you can do for your testosterone or your testosterone levels is have huevos for your huevos, you know, have eggs for your huevos, right? You know, get up in the morning and have six eggs for breakfast every morning. And that, you know, it's like, it's HDL cholesterol. It's not going to hurt you. It's not going to give you a heart attack. What gives you a heart attack is plant oils and lack of vitamin K2 coupled with LDL cholesterol, which is from grains and from, you know, plants with lectins. And that's, you know, and have you gotten into the whole lectin issue lately? You know, it's kind of a segue, but this stuff.
Yeah, it's something actually I've recently been researching because lectins are found in virtually all plant foods. You know, as much as people want to talk about, oh, you know, animal, you shouldn't eat dead flesh and this, that, and the third. Well, plants are living too. And plants produce anti-nutrients and hormones such as soy
Well,
does to.
what about the poisons they produce to keep the animals off of them, you know?
Exactly.
You
They,
know,
you know, just.
it's literally chemical warfare by plants, right?
Absolutely.
And people don't get that. They just think, oh, well, they're not so sentient. But, you know, there's more and more research coming out that shows that they're sentient in different ways. Like one study showed that when an insect started eating one side of a plant, it started releasing poisons on the other side right at that time to keep insects from eating the other side of the plant.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So lectins essentially and some of the estrogens that are found in soy are designed to keep animals away. But now we're eating them in droves. So all the lectins found in
Well,
wheat.
but Curtis, we have pills now to suppress the reaction from these poisons. So why shouldn't we take them?
Well, the pills themselves are the anti-inflammatory drugs are toxic because what lectins do is produce inflammation.
That's the
So,
logic we use, you
yeah,
know.
of course, of course. But, you know, Vioxx is well documented. It killed 100,000 people before the FDA did anything about it. And aspirin, which is, essentially Nazi medicine made by Bayer, that's another thing that people take to fight inflammation as well too. But, and that kills close to about 20,000 people per year. But yeah, these plant-based, very, very powerful inflammatory agents, as you mentioned, lectins that are found in soy, in all grains, in nightshade products such as tomatoes, potatoes,
Legumes, seeds,
legumes, seeds, which
all the
essentially
staples of the vegan diet.
all the staples. And I know because I was a vegan, so I used to eat
Dude,
chickpeas.
we've had that conversation. I landed in the ICU for a week in Arequipa, Peru, you know, on the verge of
Absolutely.
death from that diet.
Yeah, and actually the lectins are actually a major cause of food poisoning. So when people hear about food poisoning, they immediately think of McDonald's, and yeah, of course, McDonald's is a source of it, but also, kidney beans, which have very, very high amounts of lectins. They're actually linked to SIDS or sudden infant death syndrome, but the lectins found in kidney beans also cause food poisoning as well too. So many times when you go to different restaurants that serve kidney beans, different Mexican restaurants or whatnot, or just a vegan restaurant, and you're eating all those kidney beans and rice, you could actually put yourself in a stretcher as a result of all the lectins that are found. And again, because the plants don't want these beans don't want to be eaten, so they're producing this stuff in order to prevent themselves from being eaten. But we now have a whole subculture which tells us that, oh, well, no, eating this is great, but eating meat and eggs and fat and cholesterol is going to kill you. I
Yeah,
mean,
well, you know, by that logic, since I eat like 3 to 5 ounces of butter every day and about 9 to 11 eggs every day and steak and, you know, whatever else I can get my hands on, I should be, you know, 275, 290. All of my everything should be messed up. I actually feel the best I have for most of my life, really, you know, because I was in and out of hospitals for 15 years from the vegan and vegetarian diet, right? With all of the lectins causing such inflammation that my entire dietary tract shut down. So when you figure all of this stuff out, And you see, like, have you seen the new Canadian food pyramid that they're putting out? It's all, you know, it's promoting very low meat, you know, and very high plant lectins, you know, and watch in 5 years, Canadians are going to have a massive health crisis, which is, of course, what they want, you know,
of course.
And, you know, they're going to crank up the promotion of vegetarian and veganism in the next few years, try to force everybody, you know, on this stuff so that we can be poisoned by these plant lectins.
Absolutely.
But I don't want to go too far away from that. But, you know, soy is one of these legumes that's just loaded with these estrogens. And then you factor in the low cholesterol, HDL specifically diet, from lack of cholesterol and fats from meat, butter, eggs, etc. Then you have low testosterone, low estrogen, transgender. You know, we talked about masculinizing and feminizing in a prior episode together. And then we see all of this stuff happening. And you may not know this, but one of the sources that I tracked this to was the Tavistock Institute. Now, Tavistock Institute has a transgender center, you know, where they study people, and oh, Tavistock has seen a fivefold increase in transgender children in the last, you know, 10 or 20 years. But, you know, what they don't tell you is that they're using this to promote transgender while they're studying the children at this institute. Mm-hmm. So then the kids come in the front door and they study how to screw them up worse and put additional propaganda and additional chemicals and endocrine disruptors and phytoestrogens out into the public to then increase this. So then the Tavistock Institute they have their own feedback loop of constant information.
Yeah, almost like the American Heart Association. They want to create heart disease. That's why they promote whole grains and.
Oh, yeah, yeah, exactly. The exact opposite of what they should be promoting. And you would think that in, you know, 70, 80 years that they would have come up with something. But yet, you know, doctors like Davis, like this guy, you know, and I don't mean to keep promoting his book. I haven't gotten him on the show yet. But Stephen Gundry, he used to work at a hospital 20 minutes from here.
Wow.
And he was one of the head surgeons there. Big famous heart hospital, and he walks, you know, because he's looking around going, wait a second, you cut all the lectins and glutens and stuff out of people's diet, and I don't have to do heart surgery anymore. What the hell is this? You know?
Wow. I might have to check out that book, but yeah, I was doing some research into lectins, and actually, speaking on transgenderism, I did a post recently on Facebook about soy infant formula. Because in the book, the whole soy story, that's actually how I first got exposed to this whole idea that, I've heard about it that, oh, it's the chemicals in the meat that are causing people to be gay. And so I've heard that discussion before. But I actually read the book, The Whole Soy Story, by Kailaya Daniels. I think her last name's Daniels, which is a 400-page book, excellent book. It talked about how soy actually can essentially reverse people's sexual orientation and also their gender identity. And this was demonstrated in animal studies. And it was talk about the dangers of soy infant formula and how it could just absolutely destroy the male reproductive system, because men are still developing, they're actually still developing their sexual orientation as they get out the womb too, and their gender orientation. And there was a woman who actually posted on my Facebook page how when she was, when she first started out, she couldn't breastfeed. So she had to give her child a soy infant formula. And now the child is almost 7 years old and does not want to be a boy. Dr. Russell Blaylock has also discussed how soy infant formula makes boys more feminine. So essentially, as a result of soy infant formula, the child no longer wants to be a boy, because essentially, its endocrine system and hormonal system was just completely sabotaged and totally destroyed by all these different
Curtis, get this. So last week, this woman messaged me, and she had bought the vegan Kool-Aid as well, you know. And so she raised her son on soy this and soy that, and low cholesterol, low fat on top of it, right? Which, of course, you know, you're double, triple stacking the stuff. But, you know, and she has woken up to all of it. And her son is now a young man and is currently taking hormones for gender reassignment surgery.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, it's like, you know, people get upset, you know, at these shows when you and I do them. Mm-hmm. And, but, you know, this information needs to get out there. People need to understand it, you know, and it's not just, you know, it's not just about, oh, you have to be kind and, you know, we gotta just love everybody. We need to look at the underlying soft eugenics, the soft kill tactics being used. Absolutely. To kill certain segments of society. Whereas before they would have just come in and said, you're all going to war. You're all, you know, we're going to give you this poison. You know, what was it? The Tuskegee syphilis experiments, et cetera. And we're going to wipe out this segment. We're going to do this in Puerto Rico, et cetera. You know, now they are promoting this to the whole of society to wipe out mainly the middle class, but you can see how they're targeting it. You know, kids come out of the womb and, you know, they, you know, first off, what they do is they try to promote cesarean section so that the mothers can't hold the baby.
Yep.
Right? If the mother can't hold the baby, then the baby goes on formula. And so what they do is when you leave the hospital, they give you a whole supply of formula
for free,
for free to get your kid hooked on this crap, you know, to start the whole process. But it's no accident either that all of the processed food products in the store now have soy in them.
Yep.
You know, and wheat, gluten products, all these lectin products. But, you know, and then they're wrapped, like if they're wrapped in soft plastics again.
More hormones, more phthalates.
Right.
Phthalates, you know, which phthalates cause boys to display more, essentially want to play with dolls when developing male fetuses are in the womb and they're exposed to phthalates, which essentially are all soft plastics and plastic wraps and PVC. Then that makes boys later on in life, when they're exposed to within the womb, later on in life, they want to play with dolls, essentially. So they've been totally feminized. And as you mentioned, this is eugenics. And it's eugenics in terms of population control, but also the hormones that they give to the kids when they're young, because they're promoting the surgery, you know, at a very young age. You know, the kids are like 7 and 8 years old and say, oh yeah, they need to, you know, they're playing with dolls and whatnot. They need to get gender reassignment surgery. So the hormones that they give to the kids at the, I mean, because their hormonal system hasn't developed yet.
Right. Instead of stopping the things that are causing it, they say, oh, we need to do gender reassignment. No, what you need to do is back off from the processed foods and soy products and soy additives and all of this stuff. Start eating way more steak, butter, and eggs, and you will start to see, you know, in many people, I think that they can actually reverse this just by having a proper diet for long enough. The body will heal itself.
And yeah, so essentially they want to push the surgery, as you said, instead of addressing the root cause, the soy estrogens, the chemicals, the atrazine, because like I said, I mean, a lot of people get up and, oh, there's lead in the drinking water, there's lead in drinking water. Yes, there's lead and there's fluoride, but there's also extreme high amounts of estrogen. And this is not being filtered out by the federal government. They know it's there. They know the soy estrogens are in your water. They know atrazine is in your drinking water. The USDA has admitted in one of their studies that atrazine is found in 94% of tap water. Not only that, but you have Roundup, which is another chemical that's sprayed all over the place and is found in water. You have the birth control pill, which now women under Obamacare, which is death care, women can get free birth control. Not only do they get free mammograms, which increase breast cancer rates, free birth control, which increase breast cancer rates, increase prostate cancer rates, and increase transgenderism rates. But now, you know, because whenever women take birth control, 80% of the estrogen is actually excreted in her urine. And that goes straight into our drinking water. It ends up in the soil. And we end up drinking it via tap water and oftentimes via spring water. So now our water is just loaded with all these different estrogens, close to about 58 of them. And the pregnant women drink these chemicals, and then they come out with a transgender child or a lesbian child or homosexual child.
Oh, but we just need to be accepting. We don't need to figure out the cause of this stuff, Curtis.
Well, yeah, of course, they're not going to figure out the cause of it. And then when the child gets the synthetic hormones that they're pushing onto young kids, it actually permanently sterilizes them, essentially. So, you know, even if the transgender individual wanted to have kids later on in life, they're not going to have kids because they've been permanently sterilized, essentially, because you're attacking their hormonal system with these really dangerous synthetic hormones, which have dangerous side effects in them, you know, and oftentimes can cause death. You're attacking the hormonal system with these dangerous synthetic hormones, and now you have an individual who has permanent infertility. So when I discovered that, and this is actually on a progressive, on a liberal show, this is documented on the show by Chris Hedges on Contact on RT America. He had two panel speakers on there, and they were talking about some of the transgender movement and how this can oftentimes violate women's rights. And one of the panel guests was talking about how essentially, you know, these hormones that kids are being given at a very early age are destroying their hormonal system. It's destroying, you know, their health, and also causing permanent infertility.
I call it the trans QWERTY agenda.
Trans QWERTY, you said?
QWERTY, you know, like from the top of your keyboard, trans QWERTY.
Oh, QWERTY. Okay, gotcha.
QWERTY, yeah. You know, what are they? They've come up with. You know, and of course, this is all marketing and social engineering out of SRI and Tavistock and these think tank groups, but they've come up with 70-some trans fluid, transgender identifications that they call them now. Let's see. And there's a little funny thing that I posted on Facebook a couple weeks ago, upset a couple people. I was just going to show that on screen here, but you know, it's like, you know, so you have, you know, basically two genders, male and female, and then everything else is mental and chemical disorders from the promotion of all of this stuff. But this is, you know, coming out of Tavistock Institute and their promotion of this stuff. Oh, and something else I wanted to mention is, Curtis, do you know who coined the term the pill?
probably one of the Rockefellers or Margaret Sanger, one of them.
It was you know, we can never go too far from this in every show, but it was actually Aldous Huxley who coined the term the pill. And of course, Aldous Huxley's brother was eugenicist Julian Huxley. Yep. And Aldous Huxley ran MK Ultra and a bunch of stuff for the CIA and MI6, etc. So he's the one that created it. What's interesting is I've actually gone through and read Julian Huxley and Margaret Sanger's letters, and I have a bunch of them photographed from the Firestone Library at Princeton, you know, where they're talking about promoting all of this stuff like 60, 70 years ago. And now you fast forward and you can see all of this going on.
Yeah. And in 1969, the president of Planned Parenthood admitted that they would add anti-fertility agents into the drinking water.
You talking about the Jaffa report?
Yes, the Jaffa report.
Okay, exactly. Let me pull that up here. Let's see.
And they would increase in homosexuality amongst the population to reduce for population control efforts. Yeah, and of course, I think Henry Kissinger, and this was mostly for the Third World, but of course, you know, whatever the United States military does, I know you've exposed this, how the CIA, they're not just an international spy agency. Most of their operations are domestic. Henry Kissinger talked about in 1974 using injectable contraceptives to achieve population control efforts. That's one of the reasons why it's so much mercury in all the vaccines these days. You know, they say they're going to take it out, but they still inject pregnant women, and mercury causes homosexuality as well.
Well, and it would also cause, you know, a dumbing down because it destroys neurons, et cetera. So, you know, absolutely. I mean, you know, anything to make you a little dumber, you know, at least, you know, if you eat a good diet, you know, if you eat plenty of HDL cholesterol, plenty of saturated fats, plenty of vegetables, you know, without lectins, certain vegetables, be careful and, you know, study about lectins and stay away from certain legumes and plants from the deadly nightshade family, etc. But and then, you know, I think if you focused on a very ketogenic, very energy performance focused diet, you could probably reverse a lot of the damage from this in a year or two.
A lot of the chemicals, well, you know, now a lot of the chemicals, that's permanent, because people have asked me, hey, you know, can, you know, if someone's exposed to phthalates, you know, that's because essentially, you know, our brains are developed within the womb. Our gender identity and sexual orientation does develop within the womb. I do believe in that notion.
There, you know, I did see this neuroscientist research a couple of years ago, and he was showing a bunch of things that show that you can reverse brain damage, you know.
Oh, yeah, brain damage, yes. But if we're talking about, you know, where, I mean, now I haven't researched the other topic as far as gender identity and sexual orientation, but as far as brain damage, yes, I do know that you can reverse brain damage. But now,
well, but think of it this way: if both the brain and the reproductive system are made out of HDL cholesterol, which they both primarily are, mm-hmm. and you increase that into your diet, and you're providing ample amounts, it could be said that, you know, you could properly or start properly producing the proper amounts of testosterone for men, mm-hmm. estrogen for women, mm-hmm. and get their bodies back on balance. You don't think it's possible?
Well, no, I mean, I think it's possible in terms of like health, but as far as sexual orientation and gender identity, I you know, personally, I've never seen any research that can be changed, because people have asked me that, like, hey, you know, so can this be, and I tell them that from my research, it's permanent.
Is it permanence or an unwillingness to look at it? I mean, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't, you know, honestly, like I said, I can't speak on, because I mean, I can only speak on what I've researched. And from my research, you know, that's something that once that's formed, you know, that's permanent. Essentially, if a person is a lesbian because of DES, for example, the synthetic, I mean, can that be reversed? You know, and from my research, no. You know, but again, that's just my research. Now, someone else may come forward and say, oh, well, hey, we've changed their diet. They're no longer on soy. They're no longer on some of the other lectins and artificial hormones, and we've been able to reverse this. You know, now, like I said,
I'm not saying it wouldn't take some effort in a strict diet and you know, keeping the crap out, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
No sneaking down the aisles. You got to buy all your food on the outside, around the outside of the store, stay away from anything in the middle, and then you still got to be careful.
Absolutely. I mean, hey, for health reasons, I don't care what you're trans, I don't care what, you know, transgender, lesbian, doesn't matter what your sexual orientation. I mean, you should be avoiding this crap altogether, because it's going to kill you. And like I said, I mean, and oftentimes, you know, that's for the benefit, because as documented, I think Dr. William Davis talked about, Big Pharma actually has associations with the Wheat Association. They're actually on the board of the Wheat Association. So they want you eating all this crap. They want you on a vegan diet because they want you taking their toxic statins, which destroy your brain even more and cause dementia and Alzheimer's and type 2 diabetes. So, you know, either way, you definitely want to avoid all these different lectins, the plant oils, and eat more saturated fats, cholesterol, as you mentioned, and more meat. But, you know, but following that vegan diet and trying to be trendy and, you know, and be like the guy from What the Hell.
But I'm more evolved and I'm more spiritual because I'm starving my body and my brain. It's like, wait, but if you are malnourished and can't reproduce, how are you evolving anything? Because evolution, you got to pass on your genes.
Exactly.
You know, it's like, and they think, well, I'm evolved because I'm stopping things here.
Exactly. You know? But, you know, but the vegan diet shrinks the brain.
It's like, wait, that's called eugenics, not evolution.
Exactly. It is eugenics. You know, and the vegetarian diet shrinks the brain, which is well documented, you know, that shrinks the brain.
Causes depression.
I mean, and I've experienced this. I became suicidal.
Me too.
When I was a vegan.
I experienced it too. Yep.
I became very suicidal. And I know, you know, the gentleman who wrote the William Cooper, who wrote the book, The Beyond the Pale Horse, he talked about how an early, you know, talked about this a long time ago, how the government or, you know, the Illuminati, whatever you want to call them, was going to start pushing the vegan diet onto people. And, you know, and recently you had the UN, which said, oh, yeah, you know, we need to, you know, give up meat and saturated fat and eat, you know, adopt a vegan diet. And of course, some of these people who push all the, you know, people like Al Gore and people in the whole climate change dynamic, they push the vegan diet. I mean,
right. Well, and they want you to believe that cow farts create more methane than the planet itself. Like the ocean's floor, the ocean crust belches out, you know, tons and tons of methane every day. But, you know, what the vegans and vegetarians want you to believe is that it's, you know, that it's cow farts that is the cause of all the world problems. And they want you to believe that North America wasn't overrun by, you know, tens of millions of bison before cattle,
yep.
Right? You know, so, I mean, it's just fallacious argument stacked on top of fallacious argument, and then they pass all of this stuff around. It's like when you discover that oil is abiogenic and not, you know, created from rotting dinosaurs, right? And it's created from volcanic action of the earth, right? And then it's like, wait, it's not a pollutant. It's a pollutant when it gets dumped on the shores of some, you know, cove or whatever and over abundant amounts, but you know, this stuff isn't pollutants. Carbon is not a pollutant. It's the foundation of all life. But you know, they want us to believe that, oh, you have to watch your carbon footprint and, you know, and all this. Governor Jerry Brown here in California, this Jesuit out of the CIA's Esalen Institute, wants to promote, you know, he's got to reduce carbon in California, got to, you know, pass more and more taxes. And meanwhile, you know, this communist is destroying the California economy. You know, the real goal is to prevent life, prevent people from being able to thrive and do well, you know, and it's all dressed up in this environmental religion that's based on fallacies, and once you get into it and start breaking it apart, it doesn't hold up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, and I, you know, the book, when I was coming out of the vegan movement, a great book which I read, which talked about, you know, a lot of the fallacies about how veganism is good for, you know, veganism is better for the environment, was a book called The Vegetarian Myth. I think everyone, you know, particularly if you are a former vegan or think about or still vegan, you need to read that book. It's a highly recommended book on my end. I think it's an excellent book, which, and they talk about all of the, how essentially, you know, soy-based agriculture and wheat-based agriculture and sugar and all the things that are part of a plant-based diet are destroying the planet, essentially.
Well, Duncan, you can't forget, you know, when you mention that, you know, and it's a soy-based diet, it's a grain-based diet, you have these huge, you know, I mean, there, of course, you'll have your handful of individuals. Well, I grew all of my food on my own property and I don't do that, but we're talking about the general foundation, the general populace of vegans and vegetarians. But you have these massive tractors rolling through these fields that destroy, you know, I mean, you think it's vegan, but you know, there's so many insect parts, so many animal parts per million that are allowed into this stuff. Yes. But mm-hmm. These huge tractors wipe out the small animal life in these huge fields. Right, you know, it's like you think of birds, snakes, rodents, like foxes, any small rabbits, any small game would get decimated by, you know, this equipment rolling through.
Yep.
Right. Absolutely. So, you know, they think that they're not, you know, I mean, this whole do no harm philosophy, they think that they're not doing harm, when in fact they're doing more harm. And then when you discover the damage caused by soy and all of these lectin products on the body and on development, the damage to children is, you know, absolutely horrific and unconscionable.
Absolutely. And speaking of children, under Obama's legislation, which was, you know, supposed to change school lunches and kids are eating too much processed foods. I remember looking it up, and they said they were going to add more whole wheat, which actually has more lectins. So people, you know, because I used to believe that when I was younger, you know, when I got health conscious, I used to eat like, you know, whole bread.
You know, folks, for those of you who don't get the joke, that totally nasty bleached like Wonder Bread stuff was safer than the best, most expensive whole grain bread on the market. Safer and better for you. And because it was fortified with 9 different nutrients like riboflavin, etc., more nutritious than the whole grain stuff.
Yeah, because the whole grain stuff actually contains all the lectins. And that's something that I was like, man, I really didn't know that. You know, so when you eat brown rice, when you eat whole grain bread, you're actually getting exposed to more. It's actually more dangerous than the processed stuff, essentially.
And then you have all of the phytic acid, et cetera, from the seeds.
Absolutely. You know, all the anti-nutrients. But when I look at that legislation, they said they were going to increase more soy. So they're going to take out a lot of dairy, which, again, a lot of dairy was toxic because, had sugar in it.
Low-fat dairy as well.
Exactly. They were giving low-fat dairy, but they're also going to increase the amount of whole grains and the amount of soy. And I'm like, oh, man, this is a disaster. I mean, they want these kids to have diabetes. They want these kids to have ADHD. They want the kids on the psychiatric meds, on the kiddie crack, on the Ritalin, on the Adderall. And I'm like, this is not going to do anything for kids. It's actually going to make kids even more sicker. But of course, the whole school lunch program was only designed really to benefit the grain dealers anyway. The Cargills, the ADMs of the world, because it was designed to have their excess products pushed onto kids. And of course, in many public schools now, if you even try to bring in your lunch because you're trying to avoid all the allergens, all the soy, all the milk, all of the wheat and the gluten, et cetera, then they ban parents from actually making their children wholesome lunches. But they're afraid to just dump all the GMOs, the fructose, the wheat, the soy onto your kids. And then they wonder why the kid, and then of course the kid takes the SSRI drugs and then wants to shoot up his whole entire classroom or his teacher. And then they say, oh, well, that's why we need more gun control. So they create the entire situation,
right?
By getting the kids on all of these different lectins, all of the low fat milk, all of the all the soy, which shrinks their brain. So they need to get them on SSRI drugs. They diagnose them as having a bipolar, oppositional defiance disorder, and then the kids become homicidal maniacs and want to shoot themselves and want to shoot the rest of their classmates. And then entire documentaries are made, Bowling for Columbine and whatnot.
Promoting socialist propaganda that we need to take guns away and it's the guns' fault, right? Exactly. And not looking at the SSRIs and all the chemicals and everything else going on that's causing this. And, since what criminal ever, I guess this is kind of what makes a criminal is they don't follow laws. So if you pass more gun control laws, how does that impact criminals?
It's not going to...
people that are for gun control laws, it's like, the nuts loose from the screw there,
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if I'm on SSRI drugs and I'm a maniac, then, I'll kill you with a knife, with a glass bottle.
Car, with a bus, yeah. With a truck.
Anything.
Right.
Because if I'm crazy as a result of the psychiatric meds, then I'm going to take you
focus
out
on the real issue. Stop band-aiding it.
Exactly.
And then, of course, what they do is these gun control laws, and we're segueing a little too far, but these gun control laws often affect poor neighborhoods as well,
yeah.
Where of course there's the larger threat where they would be more likely to need to protect themselves, and they're already having to do a background check if they have a criminal record already. Criminals don't get their guns, from this store.
Exactly. They can't. They can't get it from anywhere.
Right.
So, yeah.
All right. So, well, they get it off the black market really easily.
Yeah, they get black market.
Within minutes, usually. Whereas, without a background check, they could just go get it off the street. But, all right. So, getting back to endocrine disruptors. So, what have you learned in the last... What has it been, two and a half years since you were on last?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, nothing's changed as far as endocrine disrupting. I mean, there's more awareness now. So a lot of people are aware of, atrazine, for example. Atrazine is actually a chemical, and it was actually invented by a pharmaceutical company. I believe it was the chemical is made by Syngenta, who actually at one point they tried to buy Monsanto. But Syngenta, I believe, was a spinoff of AstraZeneca or one of those, or GlaxoSmithKline. I can't think. It's one of the two. But atrazine is, you know, it's a chemical, you know, whenever people talk about pesticides, we always talk about Roundup. But atrazine is actually a chemical that's actually one of the main groundwater contaminants in our drinking water supply. And it's been found to actually, you know, cause frogs to display homosexual behavior. And this is actually Dr. Tyrone Hayes. He's actually a scientist out of UC Berkeley, has been on Democracy Now! And actually discussed this, how, you know, essentially this chemical is causing frogs to be homosexual. And it's also causing intersex fish, or, you know, the fish essentially are, they have man and female body parts, essentially. They're hermaphrodites. And this chemical is widely sprayed on corn. So that's why, you know, corn, high fructose corn syrup, and virtually all the meat we consume now is very, very dangerous. All the industrial meat, rather, not the grass-fed pasture meat, is very, very dangerous because the animals are fed this corn, and the chemical actually gets into their fatty tissue, and then we consume it. Because whenever you feed animals corn-fed beef, they actually, that's why they give them corn in the first place, is to
absolutely
make them fatter.
Right. Who was that scientist? It was about 2 or 3 years ago, and there was a video leaked of him. He was doing, like working for Monsanto or one of these places, but he was giving a lecture about how, you know, and he speaks out how he would alter the grains and the foods to, you know, have to, you know, to change it so that when people ate them, it would pass on, it would interrupt their ability to reproduce. Who is that? Do you remember that?
I don't remember that scientist.
It got leaked from somewhere, and I had seen it, and it's probably in my brain database somewhere, but, you know, it's been a while.
I remember there was, there was this idea of corn, like contraceptive corn. I remember that being discussed. And I remember there was this interview in which, like, this Monsanto lobbyist was asked, like, if he wanted to drink, like, there was, like this Canadian reporter gave him, like, some water with Roundup. And the guy was asked, hey, do you want to drink this? Because he was saying Roundup was safe. He's like, you know, he asked the guy, do you want to drink this? And the guy was like, no, I don't, you know, even though it's safe, I don't want to drink it. And he was like, no, I'm not going to touch it. But I don't remember the exact scientist, his name. I do not remember that. But yeah, I mean, endocrine disruptors, I mean, they're still, I mean, they keep coming out with more and more of them. I know, I think the EPA was trying to ban some of the, recently was trying to ban endocrine disrupting chemical, and that got reversed. So, you know, that pesticide is now widely sprayed on everything, including on, on cereal, which is,
You shouldn't be eating cereal anyway.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, cereal, cereal was in, so it's no mistake that, people were eating cornflakes and raw, all these grains. Which,
Kellogg Brothers, they made that stuff for prisoners.
Exactly. Not only that, but they actually made the stuff to suppress male sexuality. So, so it's no mistake to me now that the cornflakes have atrazine in them. The oats have Roundup within them, because Roundup is not just sprayed on GMOs. It's sprayed on wheat. It's sprayed on lentils. It's sprayed on oats. All of your desiccated crops are heavily, heavily sprayed with Roundup. And, I think, I used to eat oats and wheat and lentils. This was, again, going back to the vegetarian diet, this was my dietary staple when I was vegan. I used to eat, rice and lentils as for dinner. This was my staple. These endocrine disrupting chemicals, they're everywhere. Like I said, they're found in money. They're found in all plastics. They're heavy. They're found in heavy amounts in plant-based foods, in soy, not just animal foods. They're found in tampons. They're found in condoms. Whenever women put those toxic tampons into their vaginas, they're just getting a straight heavy dose of dioxins. Not only dioxins, but GMOs, all the insecticides and the pesticides found in cotton.
Well, and people used to go, women used to go into toxic shock from that back then.
Absolutely, and they used to die as a result of it. But now they're getting exposed to all these different things. So nothing has changed. I think there is more awareness now of how these chemicals are causing homosexuality and transgenderism. Like I said, this is actually old. This happened in the 1940s. You can look up DES. DES, as I mentioned, was a synthetic estrogen given in the 1940s, and that was on the market for almost 30 years. So you have people being exposed to the synthetic estrogen for almost 30 years, and they came out as homosexuals and lesbians as a result of it, as a result of this synthetic estrogen. But what happened was is that they actually took the synthetic estrogen, they banned it in America, But what tends to happen is that whatever is banned in America, they ship to the third world. So they ship stuff over to China and to India and to Mexico. And now where's most of our meat, where's most of our food come from? Where's most of our soy come from? It comes from China. So, you know, so essentially they're still using this stuff in many Chinese-based agriculture that gets shipped over to America, and now we're eating the, we're eating that stuff.
Absolutely.
So essentially, they find one way to put it into our food products. And many of the vaccines, if I'm correct, are made in China as well too. So now you have the MMR vaccine, which contains high amounts of Roundup, which is not an accident to me because Bayer Pharmaceuticals owns Monsanto, and Bayer is a pharmaceutical company. And vaccines essentially were designed to produce more pharmaceutical patients. You know, I mean, that was well documented in the book Murder by Injection by Eustace Mullins. So, you know, the vaccines, of course, are going to contain contaminants. It's not really a contaminant. It's intentionally put in there, just like bisphenol A, soy, are intentionally put into the American population to achieve population control objectives. It's not an accident whatsoever.
Yeah, you know, and Eustace Mullins gave me a copy of that book just before he died. I did his last interview before he died. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I read the whole case with Dr. Andrew Wakefield and had him on the show years ago mm-hmm. with that whole thing. And it's clear that the Lancet, I mean, in my personal opinion, it's clear that the Lancet and Richard Horton et al. Covered that whole thing up to, yes. you know, to cover all of this up. And what was that guy's name? Deerfield or whatever, the reporter?
Brian Deer.
Yeah, what's that?
I think his name was Brian Deer.
Brian Deer, yeah. Yeah, so, you know, this this guy who ended up working for
Rupert Murdoch.
Rupert Murdoch, thank you.
Yep. He owns all the media everywhere. He owns the media on Australia and Fox
right.
News Corp. Yeah, you know, he owns all the Hollywood films. He owns every media propaganda virtually out there.
All right, so what's the most effective thing that people can do to avoid lectins?
Well, avoid eating a lot of grains is going to be very important. You definitely want to avoid soy. You want to avoid all grains, and you know, and when I say grains, I'm talking about even some of the non-gluten grains, quinoa, amaranth, teff, you know, because there's this whole gluten-free movement now, you know, essentially where people
and that the, all of that stuff is crap too, you
exactly.
know, you know, exactly. It's like you don't need to, oh, you know, just because the ancients used it, you know, oh, I should be eating it, oh, quinoa and what was that other ancient
teff, kamut.
Yeah,
amaranth, buckwheat, spelt, all the different, even heirloom or what they call acorn wheat. It all has lectins in it, so it really doesn't matter if you know you're eating ancient lectins or
modern, right?
Yeah, or modern genetically mutated lectins. They're all lectins,
right?
So, and they're all going to shrink your brain.
And they're all, you know, not only that, but all of this stuff converts to sugar in the body, which then leads to diabetes and so many other problems that are connected with wheat and grains, et cetera, too. I mean, it's not just the lectins that are an issue with like wheat. It's, you know, it attacks so many different things on so many different levels because, you know, what do they brew beer from? Grains.
Grains.
And so
hops.
What do? You heat it to, what is it, 90 something to 100 and whatever, you know, when you're doing the wort. And this is what breaks down the grains into sugars in the brewing process. Right. And so what temperature is about 98 point what again? You know, so this stuff is breaking down into sugars in the body. It's tied to then diabetes and all of these inflammatory issues that are also reinforced by the inflammatory lectins. Gluten is just one lectin. Well, okay. So anyway, I'm interrupting you. What else can people avoid?
So yeah, definitely nightshades are also a major source. So that includes potatoes, tomatoes, eggplant, bell peppers. Nightshades are a major source of lectins. Another major source.
Just really quickly before we move on from the deadly nightshades, what can people do? I'll just say it. You know, to make these plants, if you are going to eat them, you know, potatoes, you should probably just switch to yams or sweet potatoes rather than potatoes and just switch those out. But with the the peppers, you know, instead of getting green bell peppers, and if you think about this, folks, like, lectins are what plants produce as poisons to defend themselves. So, like, you know, when you bite into a hot pepper, like a habanero or a jalapeno or something, and it's like, boom, these are plant poisons that the plant is using to fight you off, right? And most animals go, whoa, I won't eat that fruit again. Holy hell, that was hot, you know? And humans go, wow, that's delicious. Give me more of that, you know?
Yeah, hot sauce.
Hot sauce. But, you know, so, you know, if you peel the peppers and remove the seeds, you can dramatically decrease the level of lectins. And the same with tomatoes. If you skin them and get the seeds out, it decreases it. So, you know, that those are just some things that people can do if they insist on eating these types of fruits, I guess they are, in the vegetable category.
Yeah. Same thing with potatoes. You know, you want to skin. You don't want to eat the potato skins. Those are toxic. You want to actually peel. So it's actually better to eat, like, you know, your French fries and actually beef tallow, you know, since the fries have been skinned. And actually McDonald's used to actually make their French fries and beef tallow before the soy industry.
Bring back tallow. What the heck, man?
Yeah. You know, with the soy industry, they came along and said, oh, saturated fat is bad. It's going to kill you. And now, you know, they don't have beef tallow anymore. And now we have
you can't even buy it at the store anymore.
No, it's not even available. It's not even available. And I mean, in many places, they're bringing it back. I know, like, in the stores out here, they have it available.
The paleo and ketogenic people have made a demand for it. So
absolutely.
And there's, you know, some small farmers or ranchers that have started bringing it back. But other than that, it's pretty.
Yeah.
You know, for those that don't know what tallow is, it's the fat from cows and beef rather than like lard is from pork.
Pork. Yeah, exactly. And another thing you definitely want to avoid in terms of lectins, you know, again, we mentioned grains and also beans. Now, beans are a major source of lectins. And for most part, you know, or legumes rather.
But Curtis, that's the foundation. Legumes are the foundation of the vegan diet. You cannot attack those. Why? You're just saying this is propaganda. You're a shill for the meat industry, right?
Well, I'm definitely not a shill for Tyson or for or for the meat industry, but I'm not going to be a shill for the bean industry. You know, people don't realize there's a soybean industry, there's a meat industry, there's all types of industries in this country. But, you know, hey, and they all are trying to make money. But yes, beans are a major source of lectins. I remember, you know, when I was a raw vegan, many people actually used to sprout their beans. Even when you consume beans, those are still going to, essentially, you're consuming sugar when you're consuming beans. But, you know, it is better if you are going to eat beans, just like if you're going to eat nuts, it's better to actually sprout them than to just, you know, go into the store and just pop, you know,
make better, not good, better.
I'm not saying it's good. I'm not saying you should eat them. I'm saying it's better. Just like if you're going to eat grains, if you're going to eat bread, it's actually better to sprout your bread or to sprout your wheat before you actually eat
or
it.
Ferment it, but still, you know, and still, I've seen people fight and hang on to that. It's okay.
Then
as soon as they cut it entirely out of the diet, the rest of the remaining health issues clear right up.
Exactly, because it's still good. Just like soy, it's better if you eat organic fermented soy like miso or natto. But even if you do eat that, it's still going to have anti-nutrients and it's going to have high amounts of thyroid inhibitors and estrogens. So even if you're eating soy, you know, even if you're eating organic miso, it's still going to
I can get my vitamin K2 from Natto.
Yes.
You know, and then they'll recommend, well, I make my Natto from other legume beans, so therefore mine are good.
No, I mean, it's better, but it's not still good.
It's not as good as getting it from a chicken.
Exactly. Or for getting it from ghee or from butterfat.
Right.
Or from, you know, essentially wild caught game.
Right.
Deer, bison, etc. Or even beef tallow. So yes, it's better. The lectins, you definitely want to essentially, grains, beans, legumes, and potatoes, nightshades, all the major source, and that's what causes leaky gut disorder. which then essentially that's one of the major causes of health conditions in this country. So, you know, after you cut out all those, then you can incorporate more bone broth to seal your gut and to heal your gut. That's one natural remedy in order to stop all the inflammation essentially that's been taking place. And also probiotics are really good as well too. So, you know, like something like a grass-fed yogurt would be helpful, or any type of fermented vegetables would be helpful as well too for sealing and healing your gut, because most of us have utterly destroyed our guts through all of the lectins. And even something such as, you know, I know the whole distinction between A1 and A2 milk. I think the A1 milk produces beta caseomorphins, or BC17. I think the guy who wrote the book Devil in the Milk discussed that, but usually it's the lectins and the gluten which actually cause the leaky gut in the first place, and then the caseomorphins, they just cause even further damage.
And so then that the cattle eat those, and then that is that, yeah.
Exactly. So yeah, the cattle are eating the grains.
You need to eat and, you know, drink raw milk from grass-fed cows, not grain-fed cows, etc.
Absolutely.
Same thing. I mean, cows never learned farming and agriculture, as far as I know. I mean, they ate grass, but I don't think they ever developed wheat or these grains. I don't think they ever grew corn.
No, they didn't. Right. They didn't grow any soy, any GMO soy.
No, they didn't have Monsanto soy.
No, they didn't have Monsanto soy. They didn't have that. They didn't have any corn. They just ate grass, just like the bison. Bison ate tons and tons and tons of grass.
Grass, huh?
Yeah, just grass.
You mean bovine eat grass? Interesting. That's.
Yeah.
I wonder if any ranchers, you know, that aren't grass fed, have thought of that. Anyway. I'll stop giving a hard time. All right. So, Curtis, great having you on again. Your website?
Website is doctor, and I'm not an MD or ND. Doctor is just, doctor actually means teacher in Latin. So it's just a nickname. DrCurtisDuncan.com. That's DrCurtisDuncan. That's DrCurtisDuncan.com. And my website is dr.curtisduncan@gmail.com. That's dr.curtisduncan@gmail.com. And definitely avoid all those plastics too, and all the plastic wraps and paper receipts to avoid some of those harmful endocrine disruptors.
And support Curtis. And last time, actually, just really quick, we had people send you a bunch of donations before you came on to cover the some of the research you had done. So yeah, support Curtis. Also support Gnostic Media. If you like what you hear, GnosticMedia.com. Click the donate button up on the top. I appreciate it. Curtis, thanks so much. Good to have you back. Good to see you again. And let's do it again sometime. I don't know. We seem to have you back about every 2 years or so. So, you know, we just pencil it in for like 2019 or something like that.
Hey. Sounds good. Hey, have me back. It's always an honor. As much as you want me on.
All right, sir. Good night, everyone. See you next week. Take care.